Is this on? Mic check. Mic check. Don't make me say that too many times. I might go into, you know, some rhyme patterns. Hey, what up, though? Everybody good?
Yeah!
All right, man. I am so happy to be here. Man, it's been some years. If you've been here longer than 6, 7 years, raise your hand. Anybody? Few people. I have probably met you before. You probably got irritated by me before. For that, come on, everybody, give me a hug real quick. Come on. No, you too, bro. Give me a hug. Derry, thank you. I appreciate that. Don't make me get up off of here. You know what I'm saying? Man, I am so happy. Go ahead, have a seat. Please. What up, though, man? I am so excited to be here. You know what I'm saying? I have a long history with this church. We would not exist without this church. Our church that God is using literally all over the planet to impact urban communities. And this cat right here, I met his dad first. And I think it took about 2 years before I met you, almost a year and a half, 2 years. And just hearing his daddy, anybody ever met his daddy or heard his daddy talk? You ever heard him? It's an experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I can't even get there. You know, I'm intimidated when I'm sitting like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he's talking and all this stuff, and man, he got this big face talking. He's talking, da 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 da, and he speaks of his son. And then, how did we actually meet? Do you remember?
It's in Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay. We're doing something weird in Cleveland, getting it cracking for Jesus, you feel me? And meet this young cat, you know, probably 11 years ago, about 11 years ago. And very quickly, you know what I'm saying, there was a kindred spirit because, one, we shared that melanin, you know what I'm saying, that darker boy, you feel me? That was cool, you know, and no, it's kind of challenging because I like to be the darkest person in the room, you know what I mean? We're like, bro, we can wrestle. He's strong. You're like the thick neck, you feel me? And we can tear this joint up, you know what I'm saying? You understand that in a minute. But very quickly, I've learned that I'm not smarter than a fifth grader. For those of us with gray hair, sometimes shut your mouth. You might learn something when you're around younger cats. I mean that. We can chop later if you want to. We can get it in. But seriously, shut your mouth sometimes and humble yourself sometimes. You might learn something because you don't know as much as they do. You have no clue what it feels like to live now. I think we need to hug again. Give me some. No. Give me some. All three of y'all, I appreciate y'all. The rest of y'all suck. Welcome to Overflow. This is my daughter, Tony. She was here a couple weeks ago. Give me my watch back. She didn't steal it. Give me my watch back, Tony. Tony, give me my watch back. Did you find my phone? Good. I had my iPad with me the whole time. So I gave him my watch to find my iPad because I thought I lost it. Welcome to my world. Everybody give Tony a hug. Give her a hug, everybody. Man, very quickly, you know how you move from, you know, mentor to friend. I'm from that old school, and sometimes we sit in Yoda status. We forget about the main character who is Luke. You'll catch it in a second, especially the nerds got it. We got it. And really, immediately, like, man, he very quickly became an equal. You know, I got sons older than him, right? And it's just like very quickly became equals. And I mean this. I don't sell no wolf tickets. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. That's a friend. Don't you get it twisted. You don't get much. I travel the world, literally. Literally. And I assess, I consult churches all over the planet. That's a rare bird. Yeah. And don't make me come back here and y'all mistreating my guy. I come back with a squad, we come in heated. You feel me? I'm sorry, let's pray because I feel like I need to. Daddy, we just thank you so much for your love and mercy. I'm fully aware that I suck. You're awesome, and I'm in desperate need of you. That's called depravity, by the way. Lord, I ask that you delete anything that I think I know and inject me with your divine understanding because I'm in desperate need of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm here to talk to you about one word. And if you will humble yourself and not act like you've exhausted God's scripture, you just might learn something. I was raised a portion of my life in a Sunni Muslim home. And it was something that I learned, you may call it, and some of you scholarly people may call it a theological quadrilateral. Meaning, what have you learned? What have you experienced? What are you reading? What are your traditions? Muslims may call it hadith. What are your traditions and what are these things that you might, what are these things? And they make up your worldview and then you respond based on that. It has shaped me. And what I realize is as Christians, we get really haughty because you think you dope like that. When we come and approach his logos, his whispered word, why in the world don't we come humble? Like, Daddy, can you teach me something? Please teach me. I know I'm going to learn something. That we come in the presence of his majesty, even if you read the scriptures 3,017 times, you still don't know jack. So I'm going to ask you to humble yourself today, and you might just learn something, not from me, but from him speaking through Paracletos, Holy Spirit speaking to you. We're going to talk about one word, and that word is redeemed. It means everything to me. You'll understand that in a little bit. Psalm 107 and 2. It reads like this. This is in the NIV, which is pretty dope. It reads like this. Let the redeemed of the Lord, everybody say that part right there. Tell whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, who he has redeemed from that lame cat. All right, all right. I'm going to leave you with four little points or whatever, and then we're going to get to the good goods. You feel me? We're going to talk about what it is that we can actually do about it. And I'm gonna, in between that, I'm going to share with you a little bit of what God has done in my life, his story of redemption through and in me. Right? Then I'm going to challenge you like crazy because I ain't got nothing else to do with my life. Here's these few points. First one is, let's define what redeemed is. Because we all are smart in here and we just don't like to read the dictionary. We like to go with our own philosophies or lean to our own understanding. Let's go to a dictionary and possibly look up the word itself. The word redeemed, it simply means to buy out. I've exhausted the lexicon. I looked at it in the Greek. I looked at it in the Hebrew and also in the Aramaic. And that's what we got. To buy out. Imagine the picture. There's a slave. This is language that's used in context of buying a slave. Having a master. And having to go and buy back from that master, something of value. Nobody's buying no trifling slave. See, he created you as a masterpiece. He created you to be his masterpiece, to do his work, Ephesians 2:10. Get the picture. You just so happen to be standing on a block here. And you belong to a master. And he who owns it all chose to become Emmanuel, God with us. Offer himself a ransom, the permanent ransom, and do the unfair exchange. For you. Everybody with me? We can go to the crib now. I'm good. We can go home. Let's eat some chicken or something. That is the angelos. That is the good news. Right? That's it. But he redeemed us. He bought us out. Imagine the slave language. No, he no longer, she no longer, they no longer belong to you. They belong to me. Call it unfair exchange. Because you ain't had to do jack to get it. You ain't earned your freedom. You ain't that dope. We good so far?
Yeah.
Good. Some of us have accepted a salvation and accepted a Christ and accepting being Christian by just terminology and being a part of another club, like being a part of Planet Fitness. I'm a Christian. She's a Christian. He's a Christian. You know, your mama took you to church and you've just been in church forever, but you've never come to face to face with the reality that you need to be redeemed. It's kind of fascinating that so many Christians are calling themselves Christians and never face the fact that you're sinful. How is that possible? Theologically, it makes absolutely sense. If you are not sick, then why in the world do you need a healer? Why do you need the balm and Gilead? Why do you need them? My second point is that we got humble yourself and recognize that we got to be redeemed. We need, I don't care if you've been to church forever. I don't care about your pedigrees and degrees. You are saved by grace and grace alone. Your next breath doesn't belong to you. Maybe you thought that way. Maybe you would enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Maybe you might enter. You recognize that you suck. He's awesome. I'm in desperate need to be redeemed. It might change something. Romans 3:23 just puts a stamp on it. Everybody knows this scripture. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Disclaimer, unfortunately, a bunch of lames use the scripture to justify that they suck. So that you can stay exactly where you are, like, yeah, man, I'm Christian, but, so I can be mean to my wife. You don't know my background, bro. You know what I'm saying? No, wait a minute, I do. His power, his dunamis, his power, the explosive power, ain't got nothing to do with what your theological, it has nothing to do with what you've been through. His power, he destroys the yoke of bondage. I care about what you've been through, bro. I think we need to hug again. Give me some. I just feel him. You too, man. This is not an excuse. It's an explanation. It's the reality of the brokenness of mankind, which created a separation between us and God. We are sinful. But let me tell you this. Here's a theological wrestle for you. You ready? Nobody's ready. Good. You were not created sinful. I don't care what your neighbor's doing. He is or she is not your measuring rod. Holiness or kadosh is your only measuring rod. See, if we were created evil, we were created to sin, then he, the Lord our God, would have to be sinful instead of being holy. We're made in his likeness and his image. We like to say that until it comes to that you suck, you're falling short, you're choosing, you ain't falling into no sexual sin. Bro, you walked into it. Ain't nobody fall. It's a conscious decision. Spare me. My wife and I, we have a group practice with like 12 therapists. I get it. You walk into it, bro. But Jesus, the Lord your God is holy. It's not a statement to run from. It's not a statement to be ashamed of, to be sanctified, which is to be set apart for his glory, his purpose alone. There's no reason to hide from that and be bashful. Yeah. It's like, no, that's the good news. And no reason to be scared. I'll never attain that. No, you have to ever attain anything. Sanctification is a role in the process that he carries you. All you have to do is surrender. Humble yourself. He might heal something. That might be in the Bible somewhere. Woo! I had 2 cups of coffee. Too bad for you. Give me another hug. I don't drink caffeine, but my wife went here. My daughter didn't tell me no. So I was like, let's get it cracking. Sucks for y'all. Man. Despite our haughtiness, we are in desperate need of redemption. The price was already paid. The ransom, the unfair exchange already happened. He's so sovereign. Please don't add any added adjectives to sovereign. Look it up in the dictionary before we accept it as some doctrine. It just means he's dope like that. It's the Troy way of saying it. He's so dope and so sovereign that he's in control, for real, for real. Which means he can control what he wants to control and not control. Because if he couldn't control what he wanted to control, then he couldn't be sovereign. So he might just say, hey, I have set you free. I've done all the work. Bro, you ain't got to do nothing. I've given you the very breath you're about to breathe. I've given you the strength. I've given you the ability to just walk and hug me back. So you can't take no credit for it, no way. No man can boast. Even in your acceptance of him, you don't own it. Yes. Quit being like you that dope. You're not. You can't. You. You suck. We need him. Everybody, we good with that? Yeah. I got quite a few more. I got to finish up here. Or we'll be here until tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. We need him. But let me tell you the truth about being redeemed. And I'm sorry. I apologize. I earnestly apologize. Every time you heard an altar call, and please spare me, I know history. Charles Finney, that was the first altar call that we truly know of in America. When people are coming to the altar, you're not going to find it anywhere in the Bible. Oh, we can debate this. I'm game. And that's not rhetorical. We can talk about it. No, I'm serious. I love to talk. I'm so sorry that our altar calls look more like a sales pitch at some Amway convention. I'm a business guy, so I fully understand mission, objective, strategy, tactics. This is what I do for a living. I'm a strategist. I fully get strategic planning, gap analysis, wild analysis. I get that. That's what I do. I get it. So you have to do this compelling vision and all this stuff. No. Why does it feel like it's a rally? Like, you're going to be blessed beyond blessings. You're going to have all that you're going to ask for. Your bellies are going to be full. Full. That's what you... Those, do you know what you signed up for? You signed up to die. Christos, having the attributes of Christ. How did he move? No, you got coming what he had coming. Whether you believe in the old folks or whether the legends are true or not, most of the disciples, we know for sure that they didn't die. More. No, they got murdered. They got marked for believing. Travel a little bit. By the grace of God, I've been all over. Be in some obscure place in China where you have to preach in underground churches for a second. Where the police are walking around. You're the only black people they've seen in this province ever. You might understand the severity. Be in Israel somewhere, somewhere lost, walking around. And dude, come. Might make you act a little off. It might make you realize that this thing will cost you everything. This is not, you're signing up for war. When you say that you don't have to be a Christian. I know this is anti-pastor, but you don't have, but please stop representing my daddy like that. Steve, quit halfway representing him like that. Either you are or you're not. And if you are, you got to take this long list of stuff that comes with being and having his attributes, which includes be willing to die to yourself, your flesh, even unto death physically. That is what it means to be a Christian. Go and study the early church. Everyone knew that. Where have we gotten lost? That the redeemed, and all we think we're thinking about, oh man, I get to get chance to go party. No. You're walking unto death. You're losing everything that you know about you. Everything that you were formed since you were born, and all that stuff that you thought was about you. Your looks, lose them. Your stature, lose them. Your finances, lose them. Are you willing to give it all up? Are you willing to be butt booty ugly? In exchange, come on now. In exchange of being a true Christian. That's good news. Because you weren't created to be trifling anyway. That's an old grandma word right there. Just trifling. Like, you weren't created to be trifling, sinful. You weren't created to be trifling anyway. So why are you trying to fight so hard not to be holy? I don't want to be a holy roller. Yes, I do. I'm sorry you're ashamed of the gospel. I'm so sorry that when you get in those conversations with your cats at the barbershop, the cat at your work, you never say his name. You speak of the unknown God. I'm sorry. Are you willing to give up your job? So I got an army of young cats. Y'all get this. I pastor a hip-hop church. I know. Y'all just lost me. Like 80% of y'all are just checked out. You're ready to go home. Bounce. I'm sorry, I'm kicking people out of your church, bro. My bad. That's what you do at home. But this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm going to say it anyway. I had 3 cups of coffee. Make this make sense. We've gone overseas forever. I've gone overseas for the last 20 years. All over the place. With 2 felonies in a high court misdemeanor, by the way. Caught in a grand jury investigation, by the way. God is good. I'll get to that in a minute. We go overseas and we do stuff. I do it, we do it. And we do something there. If you're not familiar with this word, it's called contextualizing the gospel in the language, the music. We come back with bongos, shirts, hats, tigers, baby. We come with everything. We are proud and we should be. I'm doing to the uttermost parts of the earth, starting with Samaria, Jerusalem. We do this to a culture, a subculture that ain't going nowhere. I'm 50 years old, y'all. I was raised in hip hop. This ain't no uniform. This ain't no, it ain't no music for me. This is the culture. And I just chose, like, hey, we're doing it over here. Why can't we do it over here to contextualize the gospel? And I also spent some time in England. The girl that was here a few weeks ago. So I went over there and a kidnapper brought her here to ask her to serve. That's what I do. That sounds really bad. Really bad. Oh, that sounds real bad. Take that off the thing, okay? Don't post that. I got enough trouble already. My point is, it's like, well, why not? Since I'm in England, so talk to the Wesley brothers about some of your greatest hymns. The source of them. They were bar tunes. They were pub tunes. That they changed the words and the melodies. So you got a problem when somebody uses hip hop because simply because you don't like it. Pull your scriptures out, please, and show me where that. Oh, they had the same problem when I owned a marketing firm years ago, and I had the opportunity to help to design the cover for a gospel, the gospel encyclopedia. So I got a dude sitting here that I can get free information from. That's amazing. I was like, hey, so tell me some of the origin. So a lot of our gospel songs come from old, the riffs and the runs. Those are all blues. So where do you get off because you don't like hip hop that you can choose? You're sovereign, I guess. Did I tell you to bring your scriptures and talk to me? Just because you don't like it, there's a world. We want to reach the unreached people group. Nobody gives a rip about these young cats. The church especially, let me just say that. We walk by them and say, pull up your pants and take off your hat instead of buying that man some food. Watch your mouth. If you shut up for a minute, you might just learn something. So I surround myself by an army of young cats, and these cats literally hundreds, and these are not exaggerated words, no fabrication up here. Hundreds of thousands of people all over the world are being impacted because we deploy them, give them a lot of money, because it takes a lot of money, because they ain't got none, and deploy them to impact the world for Jesus all over the stinking world. And they run the church. That's why I'm here. And they're there running the church. Because I learned to shut up, move out of my way, move out of the way, stop thinking I'm Yoda and be more concerned about Luke. I had nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm still within my time, so I just shared it anyway. And I had 3 cups of coffee. Did I tell y'all that already? Yes. Oh, retention will cost you everything. Let me read the scripture so it's just not me just talking crazy. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples. You might want to underline that word because most people say it, but they have no idea what it means. Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my disciple, you live a lavish life. You wait on that next blessing hitting your stomach. Amen. No, you don't. You deny yourself. So we are obsessed with selfies. Even those of us with the gray hair that can't stand technology, you love selfies. Yourself, you look doing this right here. You just ain't got no camera in your hand. Me, mine. Let me help you. From 26 years of marriage, 23 of them being amazing, 3 of them sucking. Great marriage. 23. My dog's right here. She'll tell you. You got you anything you want to. Open book. 50% of your problem in your marriage is because you're more concerned about your happiness. That is not Christ-like. He left everything to come here to humanity, to be Emmanuel with us. He left everything to be selfless. So where in the world do you stop calling yourself a Christian? Denounce it today. Because you're making us look bad. Maybe if you stop thinking my wife does not complete me. She's incapable of completing me. There's only one who completes me. Stop expecting them to complete you. It ain't about you. It was never about you. She knows. She exists for one purpose. This is my daughter. She's a teacher. One purpose, and that's to make disciples who 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 make disciples. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you're a teacher. You're a rip about your good grades if you suck at making disciples. Flat out, she'll tell you. Who you discipling, that's what I want to know. Then show me your report card. I know, because you... I just want to look good to my neighbor. You know, my cousin on Facebook, they're lying too and saying how well their children are doing. So I just want to make sure I went to all the sports games, but you don't want to bring them to church? Y'all done messed it up. I'm trying to stay up here and be dignified. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but we here. I still got, I still got like 7 minutes.
Yeah, preaching.
Make this make sense. Make this make sense. How in the world do we start? We start saying like, I don't want to have my kids in church too much because I don't want to mess them up. Okay, make that make sense. Sociologically, human behavior. Make this make sense. You're willing to spend how much time taking them to sports? You never said once, I don't want them playing too many sports or extra activities because it's going to mess them up too much.
All right.
You will never say that. They need to be involved. They need to be engaged with extra activities. I'm saying the greatest activity they can be involved with is the one that matters in eternity.
Come on.
It's just your fault that you make it lame. She's right here. Since she was this little, they travel with me. I travel the world. Zero exaggeration. They get up in the morning. Since they were little, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, when are we going? Because it ain't lame. I got them beats in the car. It's embarrassing. It's offensive. And we just getting and listening to old, taking them through old hip hop music, doing the old people thing. I remember when. We doing this, and then I'm showing them that what they're doing is important and engaging them. It's not their fault that you're making Christianity lame. I spent some time with Barna. If you know what Barna is, most of your reports that you get from your books come from Barna Report or from Barna. I spent some time with them and the Navigators. I don't know why they always invite me to these things. I don't know why, but they do. But it was a reveal of something called the State of Discipleship. It was a book. And so I was there. It was at the mansion that Billy Graham gave to Trotman, years ago in Colorado. So we're sitting over here looking at this thing, the dude, VP from Barna, people from there. One of five Christians have ever made a disciple. Probably because it's only one out of four that have ever been discipled themselves. There is a distinctive of the Christian. Forget what you heard. It's not how many times you come to church. It is, are you making disciples? Go therefore and make disciples is not a suggestion. It's not the great suggestion. You'll get it in a second. It's a command. It's the definition of the Christian. According to Christ himself. This is probably why America sits to date. 250 million people in America do not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. National Baptist Convention research. Which makes America the third largest mission field in the world. While we're just having a good old time in church. We're hemorrhaging. And we don't even know it. I'm just having a good time. Mark me up and we're blessed. And the main purpose you exist, we failed. I spent 2.5 years in England, creating a church planting, urban church planting movement in England. Post-Christian society. 2.5 years. Worse off than England. We statistically are worse off. Why? Because the redeemed of the Lord are sitting on their thumbs, enjoying themselves, taking in the pleasures of this world, taking in the pleasures of church, taking in the pleasures and just feeding and becoming spiritually obese and doing nothing with it. Let me share this real quick. Can I have 10 more minutes? We cool? If you got to go, I'm cool. I get it. No, I don't, because I'm going to stop you at the door, bro. Like, where you going? We hugging everything. I'm going to explain to you some of my antics. I think it's John Eldridge. He said... you don't know John Eldridge, look him up. But he said, Your greatest passion often comes from your deepest hurt. So if you're sitting here today and you're wondering what your passion is, because everybody's on passion juice right now, we'll talk about that another day. But you're wondering what your passion is, go to your deepest hurt. When you see that post, you see that thing, you see that person, and it just gets down to your soul, you just want to smack somebody. Start there. So for me, born in Grand Rapids, became a man in Detroit, and got messed up all over the place. So in Grand Rapids, got involved, left my mama's house when I was 16, thought I was grown, big mistake. Had a son on the way, my first son, and left my mama's house, doing my thing. And the cast from Chicago had just started moving into Michigan. A chief moved into Michigan and started an organization there. And I was, no pun intended, I was probably the first 20, 21 of them to be a part of that organization. And from the city, you know what I'm talking about. Started getting involved with that. I wrote a book, it's out there, whatever, but the lady that helped me write it, I can't spell if you paid me to. She asked me this question. It was a gap I was leaving. You know your good, clean testimony, you leave something in your back pocket, you never say nothing? I was doing that. She said, Troy, it seems like you were okay up until here, and you just start getting wild. She said, what happened here? Well, some of y'all getting all messed up, because you got that too. See, I was molested by a dude at 9. So where do dudes talk about that? You can't even talk about that at church. Because y'all weird. Y'all shoot y'all wounded. Where I'm from? Molested. And it sent these things in my mind. I'm not gay. 9 years, what am I doing 9 years old, wondering if I ain't gay? So I start, you know, got kids in here, but I made it my mission to knock down every chick I seen at 11. Right? And I got all this stuff. See, I wasn't like the normal rest of y'all, you know, like everybody else, because I was trained since my mother's a martial artist. Every one of my family is martial artists. You know what I'm saying? There's a world champion on this side. And then everybody in my family fights. My little cousin, he's okay. His name is Floyd Mayweather Jr. We fight. Since I was this high at Pride Boxing with Buster Mathis. You're old enough, you know what I'm talking about. Fight Ali, the first fight in the Garden. That was my first trainer. We fight. And I'm not talking about this. No, we fight. We knuckle up. My mother's a martial artist. We take that 9-year-old that had these issues, wondering this, and I can't stand bullies. To date, y'all got your porn issues, you got your issues. I got my issue with bullies. I want to see you, bro. I want to see you got what you got. I'm telling you, pray for me. Tough guys, tough Christians, I got to see you, bro. Pray for me. So what do you think I'm doing in school? I'm picking out the biggest, the baddest, and see what they're working with. I couldn't read. I'm like 75% deaf in this ear, and this one is gone. My speech is weird. Everything's, and so they take me out of all these classes and doing all this stuff and moving me around. And so I was labeled as bad. No, I was confused. Yeah. All right. Yeah. They passed me along in seventh grade, which they shouldn't have. I fell in seventh grade 3 times. And I was fighting and skipping school, going to girls' houses, between girls' houses and fighting. That was my drugs of choice. And I landed over here, and next thing I know, they put me in this alternative school. It was like a jail. A bunch of dudes with gold tees, you know what I'm saying? Like, put me in here, and of course, my reputation coming over there, and cats want to fight. And I'm game for it. Let's get it. Get kicked out of, where do you go when you're kicked out of public schools and you're kicked out of alternative school? I hit the block, bro, because the church was closed. Y'all too busy, bro. Y'all too busy. Working on your family. Show me that in the scripture when Jesus himself said, who is my mother? Show me where bloodline is, cuz. Jesus himself wasn't even. Joseph was a stepdaddy, by the way. the lineage of David was through marriage, right? So I ended up, I'm gonna jump this, make this really fast, because I ended up doing my thing, and then I ended up leaving the house, 16 years old, doing my thing, because I had all this stuff going on, moved with this family. That's where I became a halfway Muslim, doing my thing. I wasn't fully submitted to God. You know, Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah. I wasn't submitted at all. I was submitted to my way. So I wasn't even a good Muslim. You know what I mean? I was a good banger, though. I got addicted to seeing people hurt because I was good at it. I ain't no killer. But I make you pay. It's my great joy. You feel me? Three of my brothers were shot from one Sunday, summer to the next summer. Three of my brothers shot, one on my mother's porch, one across the street from my mother's house, one across the street from my grandfather's church. I had about 60 guys under my leadership. Cats literally stepped on my foot. I couldn't walk nowhere by myself. They were trying to kill me. I got ticked off. You imagine 200 people trying to kill you every day? And you're 21. Jumping back, I got caught in a grand jury investigation, did a little bit over a year. I was facing 20 years. I sold drugs to the undercover police, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, there's no PTSD programming for gangbangers. Shootouts every day, no exaggeration. Start to think that it's normal when the dopamine that's released in your brain when you hurt somebody, you get addicted to that. It takes a lifetime to fight to war against this flesh to not enjoy it. So I end up leaving because I got scared. All these other dudes be lying, these rappers, these gang bangers, y'all lying. I was scared to death. I wasn't raised. I was raised to be different. I was born. God created me to be different. So I was always an oval trying to fit in a square. Make a longer story short, I moved to Detroit. Girl convinced me to go to church. And I asked Jesus to be in my life. I asked him to take away my desire to hurt people. I told him to take away this alcohol because it drives me nuts. And I told him to help me to make women look like humans versus putting them on a stroll. Multiple prostitute homes. And he did that. You call it immediate sanctification. You call it whatever you want to. But for me, he changed my life that day. I was redeemed. Come on now. I couldn't read in my 20s. God sent somebody to me who taught me how to read. And taught me how to through his scriptures, he taught me. Then he used another form of technology, IT stuff. And he taught me how to do stuff. I became one of 15,000 certified Microsoft engineers in the world. And I bet you many of them were black. Not by my own, because I suck. He's awesome. I'm in desperate need of his redemption. Started my first IT firm in my mid-20s. Made a lot more money than a human should make. I worked for General Motors at the time. Left General Motors because I feel like of being contracted because I knew how much money they were making off of me. But why don't I do it? So I subcontracted people back to General Motors and Pepsi Bottling Group and all over the Metro Detroit area. By God's grace, I started doing some other stuff. And I came back to Grand Rapids and realized that it was broken even more than it was when I left. And something was tugging on me, so we went and planted our second church, planted our first church in a homeless shelter in the Metro Detroit area. See, your deepest hurt is often where you're, right? And by God's grace, we've just done a lot of stuff and helped churches plant all over the world today. What I want to do is, my whole thing today was really talk about this word redeemed and invite you into a story that belongs to God. This is not my story. I'm merely a reflector of it. I'm a reflector of his light. You have a story. I believe we have the 250 million people out there because you ain't saying nothing. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So I'll be in front of about 15,000 people over the next few months. You are my first stop, other than my church, that I'm asking you to join me in literally probably another 1,000 people, because everybody ain't going to do it. Join me in telling God's story of redemption in your life. I believe if we create a movement where we're actually saying something, I believe people will start to wonder, because there is a need for hope. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. So there's some cards. You'll get it on your way out. These little cards right here. On the back of it, I outline how to tell your story in 1 minute. I should have practiced that today, but I didn't. How to tell your story in 1 minute. But I don't want you to stop there. I want you to record yourself telling your story. Then, of course, if you ain't got Facebook, Instagram, give it to your grandchild. I want you to give it to them, and I want you to share it. And there's some things to tag, plus tag your church. You don't know how to do it, they'll do it for you. That's accountability. Then, this is the last one, it's all in here. Then I need for you to share your story with one person in the next 30 days. You can set your card on the table with one person and give Jesus all the credit. I think we'll change this portion of Michigan. If you're willing to join me and several others, please, I don't like no emotional response. It made me twitch. But if you're sincerely, you're saying like, yo, I would like to step out, even your most uncomfortable with the idea. If you can see, like maybe this is something that Christians need to do more, and I'm willing to try it, stand up. Cool. Everybody don't have to, that's fine. Because maybe you'll do it later or something, or you'll find another way to do it, but you're willing to try this. When you're leaving out of here, they're going to give you a card. I'm going to ask you to sit down with somebody, and you write this out, and just follow it to tell you exactly what to do. And then tag exactly what's on here and tag this church. Watch what God does. Watch what he does. Can I pray with you? If there's anybody here and all of what I'm saying sounds like nothing to you because you haven't truly accepted Jesus Christ in your life. You went to church with your mama. You heard something. But you haven't really surrendered to him. You're living like a practical atheist. I just do my own thing. I want to say he loves you as much as he loves me. And I want to introduce you to my daddy. You ain't got to come up here at all. But I'm going to pray for you. You pray for yourself. But I am going to ask you to see somebody later around here and tell them, hey, yo, this is what God did in my life. Daddy, we sit here today, first and foremost, for those of us that don't know you, we're so thankful that you give us an opportunity to be adopted in your family. We thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we believe by faith, because we weren't there, that you died. You rose. And you're chilling right now with our daddy in heaven. And because of that, we have an opportunity to be adopted in your family. And Lord, for that, I say thank you. Lord, for those of us who know you, Lord, we take the challenge today that we're going to tell your story of redemption in our lives. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not going to be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.